News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, a combined income of almost €100,000 annually is needed to afford some of Dublin's cheapest apartments. That's according to a new report from the Society of Chartered Surveyors of Ireland. And for more on this, we're joined now by financial analyst Carl Dieter. Carl, is this surprising to you?
No, because the cost of housing has been rising. And I think that the issue really that we need to start talking about at some stage is the non-construction costs, because the same report shows that only about 50% of any building is the prime cost. In other words, the labor and the materials, which you might refer to as construction costs. All the rest is your VAT, your taxes, your levies, etc. And it's a huge problem. The good news,
so are you,
I suppose,
saying that the cost could be altered significantly if we did a couple of legislative tweaks?
They'd be fiscal and legislative tweaks. So basically, if half the cost is only the materials and labor, and then you're going to have to add something on for land because that has a price as well, then you see that there's this massive rump of cost which can be addressed. And it can be addressed by the state, because if they're the ones who are charging the taxes, the levies, and all the red tape costs that go with it, that's something we could look at. We go about it a different way. We try to instead give people more money through tweaking the rules, you know, shared equity, help to buy, various things like that. And I suppose one thing that doesn't come out in this, by the way, is the average full-time wage in Ireland is €49,000. So an average couple actually will have a joint income of over €96,000. But it still doesn't solve the issue, which means that if you're not an average couple buying an average house, then everybody below them is going to be the ones who can't make it work. And that's why at the moment there's only two types of buyer out there. There's the well-paid people who have secure jobs, and then there's the investors who are either built-to-rent institutional buyers or approved housing bodies. And you come from one of two camps. You're either in secure, well-paid employment, or you have access to super cheap money. And that's not really a good housing environment for anyone.
That's interesting, because Charlie Weston in the Indo today said that only 20% of households earn over 88,000, which would be the kind of the cutoff for these things. So you're saying that actually considerably more of us can afford this than perhaps other people are saying?
Well, what we're doing there is we're comparing different metrics. So 20% of households means the number of households, existing households, who have an income above that. What I'm saying is that the average full-time wage in Ireland, which is a CSO statistic, is €49,000. Now, if you have one person who earns 200 grand and another who earns 20, then the average wage between them is 110,000. So there's vagaries in the way that we talk about these things. But suffice to say that we have a lot of programs to help people get on the housing ladder. The wages in this country are pretty good if you're a full-time worker. But that's why I was saying, if you're not in that category, okay, if you're anybody below there, then you're going to struggle.
And I see what you're saying about we just give people money rather than doing these fiscal and legislative tweaks, as it were. But is the fear that if we did that, if we altered subsidies, levies, VAT or any of those things, that perhaps it wouldn't be passed on to the consumer in the first place, and that we would actually be left no better off? And once again, the developers, the builders and the people in the middle between the government and indeed the house purchasers are the ones who might make the money.
Yeah, and I'm delighted that you said that, because it feeds into our most basic fears as Irish society. But if you carry that through to the next step, okay, so that's the first step where you say, wow, the developer would take the money. Let's just say they did, okay? Well, then all the other developers and everyone who had half a chance of building anything would say, wow, there's windfall gains to be made here. They'd pile into the sector and drive down prices through competition. That's actually the way a regular market works. If something has like loads of money on the table and there's a giveaway, no one gets to have a monopoly over that. Other people will go in and grab the same thing. There is a window of time, because housing is an instant, where that would happen. But it would actually help to bring down costs in the long term.
It might, but it would be the very long term, because we don't have a huge wealth of major developers. So are we talking about, you know, doing those things and solving the housing market in 20 years' time?
What's great news, Kira, you don't need a swathe of massive developers. That's one of the lovely things about housing, is we have skilled housing creators all over the length and breadth of this country, all over the cities. Not every site, like major developers won't even go into a lot of sites because they're too small. You can actually create a huge amount of housing through infill sites. We could actually solve our housing crisis tomorrow if we just got solved through unused buildings, underused buildings, and derelict buildings, and, you know, a few of the vacant sites around
our
cities.
Culturally, the underused thing is obviously an issue, but people are very reluctant to change it. Can I ask you one last question, Carl? Is this reflective of, you know, this latest report, I suppose, on Dublin, is it reflective of many cities around the world, London, Barcelona and all that? We hear people in those cities too complaining that they've been priced out of their own major cities. Is it the demographics of the way the world is moving now, that city living, urban living is going to become the proviso of the wealthy?
Not forever, because you can't just have endless wealthy people, but what you can have is an agglomeration of wealth where wealth attracts wealth. And you do have this problem in Barcelona, Madrid. You have got it, you know, showing up all over the place, and governments are struggling everywhere to solve it. What I would say is particularly unique to Ireland, though, is that this week we also saw a report out from planners saying that our planning regime is backward. You know, we see that our costs are high. So other countries seem to bite off a deeper amount of solution, whereas we tend to go about it piecemeal. And in fact, other countries, despite what we say about not having enough social housing, have even lower social housing stock than we do. So the issue is really to make sure that we build sufficient housing of any type so that people have access to it. And we just get that wrong again and again. And that's why we go to boom bust. And to be honest, Kira, we're going to do the same thing all over again. But hopefully next time we learn a bit of the lesson, get across the curve and solve it next time.
Look, thank you for that indeed. That is financial analyst there, Carl Dieter.